Welcome to Mindful Mother, a podcast by Esk and Ivy. Welcome to episode 2 of the Mindful Mother. Today we're going to talk about hypnobirthing, and I am joined by the wonderful Jem Neelan, who is a midwife, hypnobirthing specialist, as well as a trauma specialist as well. She's a mum of two, and she had two fantastic home births herself. Hello, Jem. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So, would you like to give us a little introduction to hypnobirthing and maybe what drew you to hypnobirthing? And presenting it to other people.
Sure, yeah. So I am obviously a midwife, as you said. And when I was a midwife, I'd had the luxury of having supported hundreds of people to give birth and had really seen what I had, you know, my interpretation of what was a positive birth in inverted commas. Now, by that, I don't necessarily mean, you know, a water birth with candles and whale music. It was, you know, people coming out feeling happy and positive and a peaceful experience. And it was definitely what was going on in the mind. So I'd heard about this thing called hypnobirthing. This is where I'm going to be a bit controversial and say that I had a bit of a love-hate relationship with it. So there were elements of hypnobirthing that I loved and some bits that I didn't, which is why now what I go on to teach is I've cherry-picked things that I like, discarded bits I don't, and added extra bits in. So I went down south in pregnancy with my husband to learn natal hypnotherapy, which no one taught in Scotland. So it was the only hypnobirthing method that kind of resonated with me. And what I liked with it, there was no change in language. There was no saying, you know, pressure rather than pain. You're having to say surge rather than contraction. Mm-hmm. You were allowed to feel pain. And so I went down and I did this natal therapy workshop, and it was totally amazing. I totally loved it. And then I went on to have two incredible, incredible home births. Were amazing. So I'd swap place with any of your listeners who are pregnant right now to get to give birth. It was wonderful. And instantly it resonated with me a lot in how I taught. So prior to being midwife, I'd become an NLP practitioner, neuro-linguistic programming practitioner. Had trained in many mind-body healing techniques in Asia and around the UK. I'd done years of meditation that kind of tied it all together. So I trained in natal hypnotherapy because I just knew that there was nothing like that in Scotland. There was none of that support. And then over the last few years, after having trained in natal therapy, I created my own course because there were things that I wanted to add in on top to take it to another level. So I think what's really important, what I really liked as a midwife, whilst I've had two home births, two amazing home births, two of which were pain-free, the last one a little bit of pain at the end. So, you know, those kind of births that people don't believe. I also am realistic. So as a midwife, I knew that complications can happen. Sometimes you need emergency cesarean. Sometimes you need assistance. You know, sometimes you need to be induced. And I think it's really important that you're prepared for all eventuality. So my mission is really that babies are born peacefully. Mm-hmm. My mission is not everyone has a vaginal birth or everyone has a home birth or a water birth or whatever. It's about feeling calm and in control at the moment of birth, because I know that as co-founder of Birth Trauma Scotland, having worked with a lot of birth trauma, that people don't come to me saying I'm traumatized because I had a cesarean or I'm traumatized because of emergency buzzer went off. They say I'm traumatized because I was scared. I was traumatized because I felt out of control. I was traumatized because I didn't feel listened to. I was traumatized because I felt lonely, abandoned. Mm-hmm. So childbirth, our experience of childbirth is not about what happens. It's about how we feel. Mm-hmm. So I'm going off on a tangent now, but basically that's what inspired me. And so I say, you know, what I do is science-based hypnobirthing. So it's very different to any hypnobirthing you get. You're going to get a lot of neuroscience and it's birth preparation too. Mm-hmm. So really making sure you're focused on the birth you want, prepared for that, but also prepared for your worst case scenario. So we do emergency drills. What happens if an emergency buzzer goes off? Do you know what to do? You know, as a midwife, I do you know, study days where I have to rehearse what happens if an emergency happens, so that when it happens, we can all just go into automatic pilot and go calm. So I think it should be the same for everyone. And yeah, I adore, totally and utterly adore what I do, and have been privileged to help hundreds of people. So hypnobirthing is really about the mind. It's about giving you tools to remain calm. And when you understand, it's about understanding physiology of childbirth. When you understand the physiology of childbirth, you know what to do to, you know, increase your chance for natural birth, to support those wonderful hormones that you know, give you natural pain relief and strong contractions, and to remove fear. Yeah. And so that's really what was.
And I suppose that's how we know each other, was because I obviously came to you for trauma processing after I had my daughter. And certainly, and she, with the whole induction problem, I think if I had gone down the hypnobirthing route, I would have much been able to have a calmer birth. And I think now all the reading that I've done around, you know, all the hormones and endorphins that you need for labour to get, you know, your uterus going, I think it's really important that people are starting to catch on to that and understand the science behind hypnobirthing, isn't it? It's really important, and that it's not, you know, much... Us in the West are very good at saying, oh, we like all of these Eastern concepts, but it can be a bit woo at times. And I think what's coming to the fore a bit more often now is actually that we're realizing the actual fundamental science behind a lot of these Eastern concepts. So like hypnosis, or just inviting that calmness, isn't it, is going to help with your oxytocin production, which is obviously what you need.
Totally.
Progress in your labor. Yeah,
and it's all science based, you know, it is research based. You know, we know that women who are scared of childbirth have longer, you know, they've done studies on that, longer labors, have more painful labors.
Yeah,
you know, and so yeah, I think it's a real shame that it's not integrated and welcome, because you know, the proof is in the pudding, really. You know, I mean, the success rate, and what I love is not just that people are like, I can't believe it, you know, I turned up in labor, first time mom pushing my baby out, people going from extreme fear to blissful birth, but also people who are going, you know, I needed to be induced, or I ended up having an emergency cesarean, but you know what, I felt calm and in control, and I look back on it, I felt supported, I felt loved. And I think that's really important. I think one thing that can sometimes be a downside to some hypnobirthing, it can be quite polarized, or some, not just hypnobirthing, antenatal education, actually, I think it can be very polarized. I think that it's very much that either, you know, you have your home birth or your water birth, and you avoid all intervention at all costs and pain relief is bad,
mm-hmm.
or it's really awful, just take all the drugs and, you know, do anything and have the intervention. And what happens is most people don't want the complication, so they then go the other way and can go in with quite rose-tinted glasses and aren't fully prepared for all eventualities. And I think some hypnobirthing can perpetuate that in the whole thing, like it teaches that you shouldn't feel pain,
mm-hmm.
you know, or you shouldn't say the word contraction, you should say the word surge. So I've, you know, I think we really need to be really balanced. But just the fact of that the hormones of labor and birth are influenced by our emotions, depending on our emotional state, will determine whether or not we produce oxytocin, the hormone that makes your uterus contract, or endorphins, which are natural pain relief.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to, first and foremost, you know, learn how to control our mind when we give birth. And yet what a lot of antenatal, I mean, I've taught a lot of NHS antenatal education, you know, and in it, you know, I provide a course that has to teach what an episiotomy is. And I always say, you know, well, if you're having triple heart bypass, would you be researching what implements the surgeon is going to use and what angle in which he's going to make his incisions? And yet a woman learns that and is taught that. Like, what does that do? That does nothing whatsoever but give her fear. She needs to be taught how to make decisions in childbirth, you know, and how to feel calm and in control when it happens. So yeah, I think there's a lot of work to be done with antenatal education, really.
Yeah, and I really agree with you there, Jim, because you know you're told by your midwife you should come up with a birth plan, and you come up with this birth plan, which is usually, let's face it, most of us are like, oh, water birth and quite calm, and in reality, most of us aren't going to achieve that. So what we should really be getting taught here is to say these are my what I would like, and I think you said that there, isn't it? And to be informed so that you can say in a calm way, so that you can have that calm and controlled way of saying, could you please tell me the risks and benefits of what you're suggesting? Is there any other alternatives that, you know, we might be able to do? And I think perhaps that's where hypnobirthing can really help, or having some sort of, you know, meditation practice behind you, or some way that you can go to a calm place. Because when someone comes to you to say to you things aren't going as expected, if you're not able to drop into that calm state of mind, then the mind's worrying, isn't it? And you're not able to say, well, actually, why are you making this decision for me? Can we talk through it rationally? And obviously I didn't do hypnobirthing, but I would like to think now, in all the research that I've done since, if I had, for my labour in particular, I would have been able to have those conversations with my medical team, whereas I just wasn't, because I wasn't calm. I wasn't in a calm place to do that, I think.
And yes and no, because I also feel a pregnant woman, and from my experience of giving birth twice and supporting lots of people through it, you can't have those conversations when you give birth. And what I see is let down a lot by antenatal education is that it's all focused on the mother. And she needs a really prepared birth partner. So I say in my hypnobirthing workshops, which is very different, if I was going to teach one person, I'd teach the birth partners. I'd give the mums a hypnobirthing track to listen to, because it's the subconscious, you know, I'm going to talk about that if you want, but the subconscious work beforehand. But you can't have those conversations when you give birth. So you need the support, because at the end of the day, you need to be able to relax and breathe and do nothing else as soon as you're pulled into those conversations. Mm-hmm. However, as well, there's the whole birth plan. You know, I don't like the word birth plan. If you say that, if it's anything, it should be birth plans or birth preferences, because you literally can't plan a birth. You can't control a birth. Birth by its very nature is uncontrollable. But we can learn to control ourselves, because there's two worlds, you know, there's the outside world and there's the internal world. However, that's definitely something I would see as a community midwife, you know, people going, oh, I don't want an epidural, I'm going to say no to that, you know, because we'd be discussing their birth preferences. You know, I just want to go in the birth centre and have a water birth. And what I'd be thinking is, okay, well, what are you doing every day to make that happen?
Yeah.
It's not a case of wanting it. Most of the work doesn't happen when you're there. It all happens before. And that's the subconscious work, mm-hmm. you know? So a lot of people will go on and do a little bit of hypnobirthing or read a book and be like, oh, I understand it in theory. But if they're turning up with a whole lot of baggage, unfortunately, which we all have birth baggage, because we're in a society that tells us that birth is traumatic and scary and awful. Mm-hmm. And the problem is our brains are pattern matching organs. Well, mm-hmm. the problem and the solution is that our brains are pattern matching organ. So as soon as we turn up in labor and we think contraction or hospital, we go, that's really scary. So it doesn't matter how much you can understand about how to commute, you know, like what decisions are good and pros and cons and whatever. If you've not done the subconscious work, if you've not got rid of your triggers, if you've not got rid of your fears and faced them, you're just going to turn up with them, producing a whole lot of adrenaline, do you know? So I've kind of said lots of things there. So one, I think we need to be careful focusing on the birth plan. It's not, you don't order it on Amazon. Do you know, I trained physically and emotionally daily throughout my birth. You know, there's a little bit of luck, a couple of percent of luck, but it didn't happen by chance, do you know?
Yeah. And I think it's everything with this sort of mind-body interactions that we look at. It's a daily practice, isn't it? It's not like an order off the shelf, I'll ingest this and I'm ready, I'm in the zone. It's daily work, isn't it, that you've got to put into these things. And, you know, we invest in our prams, we invest in our state-of-the-art cots, we invest in which breast pump we think is going to be really good. But what we should really be doing is investing in preparation and investing in our minds, because, you know, that is going to carry on long past the labor, long past the early postpartum period, and for years. You know, you're going in with a much better starting point, I guess, isn't it?
And I think it's something we've spoken about before, and I think it's just our society doesn't value, you know, how important birth is. Regardless of what your birth is, you get a congratulations card, you must be so happy. And one in three women leave hospital traumatized. That is a fact. many of them go on to have post-traumatic stress disorder. And I'm not saying that because childbirth is horrific and scary. It is innately not, but our society has us in a state of fear. And we have to be, I have to be honest that we're not birthing in an, you know, a situation that's ideal to birthing. You know, it's harder. I'm definitely having to prepare my clients more than ever. And, you know, I've treated people for birth trauma 20 years later, 21 years later, you know, like they don't go, oh, I'm so upset I didn't buy that pram, you know? Yeah. And unfortunately people go, hypnobirthing workshop is too expensive, so I'll do the cheapy online version for 30 quid. And yet they'll spend up to £1,000 on a pram.
Yeah.
Or I can't afford it, but you can. So it's about our priorities and we're not taught to prioritize it. And I just, it takes a lot of work. It's like boot camp, you know, but like you say, you remember it for the rest of your life. It's so vitally important. So that's what I would invite everyone to do is please value it. Because I've seen on the other side, and that's what I bring to a lot of my hypnobirthing. You know, I know I've seen what causes trauma, so therefore I know how to prevent it. But, you know, as you know, it's huge. If you don't feel loved, cared for, supported, calm and in control, yep, on one of the most important days of your life,
yep,
never forget it. In the same way, like a wedding day, if the whole wedding was a disaster, you thought you were going to die and like there was a terrorist came and like held you all hostage, people wouldn't say, well, all that matters is if you got a marriage certificate.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, people again and again, people say that, well, you know, you must be really glad you've got a healthy baby. And no, I'm traumatized and people aren't talking about it. One in three women are traumatized by their birth.
Absolutely. And then when you do say, oh, I'm struggling a little bit here, then it's like everything descends on it. So it's not like you're even allowed to say, it was difficult for me. It's like, well, you've got a healthy baby, or everybody floods in. And yeah, it's a large problem, isn't it? Unfortunately, that a lot of women are dealing with. And I mean, I know for myself, I had a birth book and then got to the cesarean chapter and literally went, won't be needing that, and refused to read the chapter because it was like I was doing some weird manifestation in my head that I wasn't going to have a cesarean section, and all I did was create even more fear around that rather than tackling your fear head on and saying, what actually can I do to stop the fear around this? And actually having done that would have probably, well, we will never know with my birth, but may have helped,
yeah,
at least helped me feel in control in amongst the chaos that was happening, I think. Yeah.
So one of the first things that I do with my clients in hypnobirthing workshop is say to them, right, you know, they're all like all positive and psyched up and I'm like doom and gloom. Right, what's your biggest fears? What's your worst case birth scenario? Because, and then we acquire tools and techniques to deal with that and to subconsciously let go of the fear of it. Mm-hmm. So then if it happens, they're like, oh, it's not that bad.
Exactly.
So I think it's, you've got to really be balanced and do two things, have all the amazing tools to have that wonderful, incredible birth that can help your body, you know, function in the best way it can, to take over and have work with those wonderful hormones of labor and birth, but also be prepared for it. So I've got a cesarean birth rehearsal track on the, as part of the package that they get. And I, you know, will say, go and listen to that track once. So if mm-hmm. you do end up in an operating theater, you know what to do. You've already done it. You go to automatic pilot. So balance is definitely needed, because what saddens me, actually, it was my second birth, after my second incredible birth. I remember it's about half an hour later and I delivered my baby, delivered my placenta. And I remember nipping to the loo the first time and just going, oh my God, that was the most incredible experience. And whoa, I've never felt like such a mammal. My body just took over. It was nothing to do with me. Obviously, I'd created the environment for that to happen. But then I just felt really sad. And I felt so sad that very few, probably the people listening to this and women experience that, and that it doesn't need to be that way. Birth can be one of the most transformative, incredible, wonderful experiences of your life. Mm-hmm. And yet there are so many reasons why that doesn't happen. And I think that's why I teach what I do, because I want people to know what will hold them back from that happening, yeah, you know, but it can be wonderful. It can be incredible. So we need to be realistic.
Yeah. And then, so what can people expect from hypnobirthing? And if they're tempted to try it, but they think, oh, I'm not sure. And we've obviously said it takes a lot of hard work and a lot of dedication, yeah, to reach that point. what sort of thing can be expected from your clients or ladies?
I suppose it depends. First of all, the most important thing to know is that there are many different kinds of hypnobirthing. So people go, you know, oh, my friend had an amazing hypnobirthing, you know, experience, and then they just go and read a book. It's you know, I would really go with who resonates with you, and know that the tools and techniques are very different depending on what you're doing. And obviously there's a difference between doing a course and reading a book. There's difference in if you're going to listen to birth rehearsal tracks or you're not going to. And so for me, the main thing is understanding the hormones of labor and birth, understanding the nervous system, understanding the effect of fear in childbirth, and therefore how to remove those fears, because fear is your biggest enemy when it comes to giving birth. Mm-hmm. If you're going to be scared of anything, don't be scared of the pain. Don't be scared of the complication. Be scared of fear, because fear is going to cause all those things in the first place. So understanding the hormones of labor and birth, understanding the effect of fear, what to do about it, how to remove those fears, and then a lot of tools and techniques to instantly induce calm. So to recognize the fear and do whatever you can to return to calm, so your body feels safe enough to give birth again. In my course specifically, there's a lot of emphasis on the birth partners, so they know what environment is needed for the hormones of labor and birth, because there is a specific environment. What environment do mammals look for to give birth? They have tools to instantly be able to induce calm in their partner. How to navigate, you know, what I put the emphasis on is when to know when to say yes to medical professionals, because sometimes there's a time when they really know best and they need to take over, and when to maybe push back a little bit. And to have the confidence to do that. But I think it's actually tools for life. So I also, you know, I've taught on the Scottish Courts Tribunal Service Trauma and Resilience Programme, which I help them develop. It's basically hypnobirthing, don't tell them. And so it's really tools for life. So, you know, I started meditating when I was 18 and have done a lot of self-development work like you have. And it's really, I could remove the birth aspect of it. Mm-hmm. Really what it is, it's learning powerful, profound tools to induce calm mm-hmm. at any time, regardless of what's happening around you. And those are skills that can be used into parenting, you know?
Well, that was going to be my next question, actually, to Gemma. I was going to say, is there anything in hypnobirthing that we can take forward into that, you know, the fourth trimester or those early months? Because I think a lot of women, when you ask them, you know, are interested in preparing for the labor, but they often feel when they get to the other side, there's not as many tools for a brand new mum, you know, being a brand new mum, particularly if you're carrying trauma, is a daunting and quite scary place. Mm-hmm. So is there aspects that you probably can take from your hypnobirthing process into that fourth trimester?
So absolutely all of it. And the way I teach it is just bring this into life when you're at work. So, you know, I would expect from my students, if I can call them students, a lot of commitment, a lot of hard work, a lot of homework. So it's a really, you know, it's thorough, my course, which I know that's different to other things. So by the time they've got to the end of their pregnancy, they know how to induce calm. They know what's needed. And it's just literally using all of those tools and techniques. But what I would say, and this is kind of not so much about hypnobirthing, but what's a nice tip, analogy, is that, you know, the conditions that are needed in the womb, that darkness, safety, privacy, warmth, are the same conditions that we need. Our babies need to be born into darkness, safety, privacy, warmth. And it's the same conditions that we need in the first few weeks and months of, you know, of being a new mum. And those conditions are also, by coincidence, but not, the same conditions in which we feel safe. Mm-hmm. So as a newborn baby mum, you need to feel safe and calm. Mm-hmm. So I think it's about, you know, really just carrying on the wisdom of the womb mm-hmm. and taking that environment. Babies need to be birthed into womb-like environments, and our bodies will only birth if it's in a womb-like, dark, safe, quiet, private, warm place. Mm-hmm. And that's the environment we need for the first few weeks and months of giving birth. But I think it probably depends how the hypnobirthing's taught, but definitely, you know, I know many people have said, you know, my course has changed their life, and they've applied it to many situations. I remember one mum going, she had hurt, like, I can't remember, was it months or years later, she had burst open her head and had an accident. She had to go in A&E, and I can't remember exactly why it was, but they couldn't get the analgesia in, and it was really serious. It was pouring with blood, and she went, "It's okay, it's okay, I've done hypnobirthing, just give me a second, I just need to get in the zone. And she was like, it was amazing, I used all these techniques, you know. So it's a life skill to stay calm, isn't it?
Yeah, and I was going to say, not just pain, isn't it? It's like emotional pain as well, to be able to put a distance between you and that emotional pain by coming back to breath or different calming techniques, isn't it? You can, you know, we talk about oxytocin a lot with birth, but oxytocin's involved in breastfeeding as well. Oxytocin is still, we still have it even when we're not lactating or growing a human or birthing a human. Oxytocin's still an important hormone, isn't it? So,
and understanding that you don't, that is the same for life, you don't produce oxytocin, which the hormone makes your uterus contract, which makes you feel calm, safe, compassionate, and endorphins, which are natural pain relief, you know, they are not produced in the presence of adrenaline. So that's important to understand when we give birth, right? So basically, if you're scared, any fear, and the problem with fear in childbirth is it didn't just happen in your mind, it happens to your whole body, it will stop your contractions and the natural pain relief. But what's also important to understand is if in life, and as a newborn mummy, as a new mummy, that fear, that stress, it's also going to stop the oxytocin and the natural pain relief. You know, so if you're recovering from a cesarean or something, and oxytocin is what keeps us calm. You know, endorphins are opiate-like hormones similar to heroin, you know, or morphine. So we really need to welcome them into our lives. So if we want to enjoy those early days of motherhood, we need to be able to get rid of the adrenaline. And the way to do that is by inducing calm, because if I asked you to be calm and relaxed, calm and stressed right now, you can't do it. You can't physically do that. So ultimately the answer to everything always is to come back to calm and peace.
Yeah.
Just while you do your mindfulness, as you know, I teach, you know, meditation to all my clients. I give all my clients, you know, my one-to-one clients personalized meditations, because when we're in a state of calm, i.e. not an adrenaline, our immune system's up, you know, our blood pressures are more stable, our pulse is more stable, we're digesting food, and we're starting to fill our system with oxytocin and endorphins, which make us feel calm, relaxed, happy. So it's, that's really the answer, isn't it? Calm's the answer.
Exactly. Calm, balanced nervous system, isn't it? Because there are times in life that we do need a bit of an adrenaline. There's nothing wrong with producing adrenaline at the correct times, isn't it? But it's sort of, we could get right into the technicalities here of parasympathetic and sympathetic. We could go off on one with the science behind that in the nervous system. But it's about bringing balance to that nervous system, isn't it? And when you do have those adrenaline spikes, being able to bring them back down again.
Knowing how to. And, you know, it's going to be a done deal when you give birth. You are going to release adrenaline at one point. But the difference with someone who's, you know, done a good hypnobirthing course is that they will recognize it and not get caught up in that kind of fear, tension, pain cycle. They'll recognize it, and hopefully their birth partners will be prepared enough that their birth partners will basically be able to be trained to use their eyes and see that mum is freaking out and know exactly how to switch on calm for them, how to create the right environment and have tools and techniques to instantly induce calm for them. And if we do that, it is impossible. I know from the physiology of trauma, the neuroscience of trauma, it's impossible to be traumatized in a state of calm. That's a fact. So that's it. You cannot have a trauma. It's physically impossible. You could try all you like. If you're calm, you cannot be traumatized by giving birth. Fact. So there you go. So whatever you do, you know, if you're going to do one thing, the midwives, the obstetricians are so well trained. You know, they're so good at keeping you healthy. They're so good at the medical stuff. So rather than concerning us with that, our job is to know how to induce calm. And that happens before. All the work has to be done before. You don't sign up for a marathon. That's what people do. They sign up for a marathon like, I want to run a marathon. It's going to be amazing. The sun's going to be shining. You know, it's like, oh, I'm going to give birth in the birth sense, water birth. And they just turn up on the day. You train every single day. And most of the work's done beforehand. But, you know, we also need to understand that on the day you run the marathon, it might be pouring with a torrential rain. There might be obstacles on your course. You know, you don't know what may have happened. So that's in the way we need to be prepared to, you know, focus on the marathon we want, but also know that, you know, the conditions might be different and there might be more of a challenge. So,
that's a lovely way to think about it, though. You know, people say that. I remember we had the same prenatal yoga instructor. She used to say that all the time. She's called labor for a reason, you know, so, and you have to prepare around that. You need the stamina for it. You need the mental stamina, physical stamina, whatever. So it is a massive preparation. I like that, Gemma. I do like that. It's a marathon, yeah. And it could be raining on the day. That's one to remember, isn't it? We don't invoke.
That's not your fault. Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. Because I think many of us, maybe that's a whole other podcast, but many of us do go down the route of thinking, oh, I made it rain today, or I made these things happen. And actually, situations arise, whether they're in your control or not within your control, don't they? So totally. Sadly. Yeah.
Totally.
Lovely. Well, I suppose the next question I have for you is, where can we find out more about you? Can you tell us a bit more about your social? Can we follow you on social media? Can we check out your website if anyone's interested in doing your hypnobirthing courses?
Yeah, so it's positivebirthscotland.com, and on all social media, so on Instagram, Facebook, it's at positivebirthscotland. And also, as co-founder of Birth Trauma Scotland as well, it's the same. So birthtraumascotland.com, positivebirthscotland.com, and the same on social media. So yeah, and I do lots of lives and interviews and all sorts of things there. So yeah, come and say hello.
Yeah, and so will you be running in-person hypnobirthing? Is that something on the horizon for you now that we can get back into spaces?
Yeah, together? So like yourself, I'm working at Kin Collective Edinburgh. So my next hypnobirthing workshop is at Kin Collective. So I do a hypnobirthing workshop a month, a group hypnobirthing, then I do one-to-ones as well. And so I've been doing them in Zoom up until now. I'll still do both, actually, because for some people, Zoom is, you know, preferable. But yeah, I'm going to start doing them in person again, which is going to be funny. We're so used to doing things on screens now. But so yeah, and I also do one-to-one birth coaching. So some people come to me, you know, at the end for birth coaching, or if they've got particular fears, you know, as I work with tocophobia, so extreme phobia of childbirth, or if someone recognizes that there's a fear they just can't get rid of, you know, I can come and work subconsciously to help people with that, because you just don't want to be dragging that into the hospital with you.
No, absolutely not. No. So what's going on then? Lots of places that people can find you, and hopefully if they're interested in hypnobirthing, Gemma as a lady for you, you can find out more. And what I'll do is I'll tag her links in the episode description as well, make it a little bit easier to find her. Thank you so much, Gemma. It has been fascinating as always to talk to you and get into the game and the science of it all.
Yes, and I would swap places with any of your listeners who are giving birth.
There we go. That's a positive marker for birth anyway, isn't it? There we go. Wanting to step back into it.
Yes.
Excellent. Well, thank you all for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time on our next episode of Mindful Mother. Bye. Thanks so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to catch the next episode. If you can't wait till then, give us a follow on Instagram and Facebook at Esk and Ivy, or check out our website www.eskandivy.co.uk.